Now it's my honor and privilege to declare the word of the Lord this morning, and I want you to prepare your heart as we expound on the word of God. How many of you know that in the month of March, our theme is Purpose Unlocked? Purpose Unlocked. Purpose, purpose, purpose. And by way of example, just a small example, I was watching Pastor Joe's TikTok video recently. Pastor Joe, sorry, I'm not making an example. But you remind me so much of Purpose Unlocked. Amen. I know you a long time, and you know me a long time in this house. And such an example of the purpose of God unlocked. So March is the purpose month, the month that we understand purpose. Now, when any preacher is given a topic like purpose, man, he can go on and on and on. So Pastor Marcus had given me about 2 hours to preach this message. And I'm going to do my best in about 30 minutes. I'm feeling kind to you this morning. 30 minutes to get this done. In my introduction, I want to say anything great, anything meaningful, anything worth having in this life requires sacrifice. Sacrifice. It requires hard work, diligence. Let me tell you, there is no way of achieving great things. No shortcuts. No easy way. In fact, I would like to just say, and this is not in my word, but hard work is actually a great thing. It's a good thing. It's an honorable thing. Somehow when we are growing up, especially if someone that goes to school and study hard and etc., they always try to teach you the easiest way to find the solution. But hard work is a blessing. Anything worth having, anything meaningful, will cost you something. Purpose will cost you something. It requires toil. It requires service. It requires diligence. When you look at great accomplishments in this earth, when you look at great families, when you look at great businesses, when you look at great achievements in the world, when you analyze it and research it, you almost always find that along the line, along the history of that family, of that business, they were not successful initially. They were often poor. They were often broke. They were often busted. They often had bad parents, bad grandparents, bad upbringings, poor parenting. Are you with me this morning? But somewhere along the line, someone stood up. Someone stood up and said, I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one that's going to be the first one to finish school. I'm the one that's going to be the first one to stop this nonsense. I'm the one that's going to end alcoholism in my family. I'm the one that's going to go to church faithfully. I'm the one that's going to trust in this God. I'm the one that's going to step into ministry. Along the way, someone said, I'm the one that's going to wake up early. I'm the one that's going to sleep late. I'm the one that's going to get that degree. I'm the one that's going to become a chartered accountant. I'm the one that's going to start a business. I'm the one that's going to move from the hometown where everybody says the little that you have is enough. I'm the one that's going to stand for Jesus Christ. Along the way, somebody said, no matter the price it costs me, I'm the one. This morning, my message is directed to that one. Are you here this morning? Are you here this morning? You are young, but you cannot enjoy the pleasures of this young life. You face challenges that no one else your age group should face. You are old and grappling with tough decisions. You want to move out of the rat race and give your family a legacy. You are that one this morning. You got everything going for you, but something is missing. You want to work in the vineyard. You want to toil for souls. Though you may reach the highest levels of wealth and business success and riches in this earth, you still believe a soul is worth more than $1 million. Amen. Is that you this morning? I'm speaking to you. You are the one. You are sick and tired of poverty in your family. You are sick and tired of lack in your family. You stand up this morning and said, I've tried everything. I've tried the lotto. I've tried the loan sharks. I've tried working day and night. I've tried working 5 jobs. I want to try this Jesus. Are you that one this morning? All of your miracles, all of your needs, all of your breakthroughs, all of your tomorrows is locked in the purpose that God created you for. God created you for. God has need of you, sir. God has need of you, madam. The ones that are toiling, the ones that are facing. Are you someone that you in the kingdom? You're serving God faithfully, ma'am. You're praying hard. You're in every service. But challenges keep coming your way. That may not be the devil. That is the Lord Himself strengthening your faith muscles. Preparing you for greater and greater and greater. Preparing you for kingdoms of the enemy that has to be taken before you close your eyes on this earth. Amen. Right there you can praise Him. You are the one. You are the one. The purposes of God locked in you has to come out. It has to come out. It has to come out. You will not go to the grave with the purposes of God locked up on the inside of you. You will not go to the grave with the potential of God locked up inside of you. Ma'am, sir, I don't care how great you are on this earth in terms of your reputation and your name in the earthly things. God wants significance in the things of God. Amen. So this morning you are here not by chance, not by mistake. There is something in store for you. God needs you. He has need of you concerning His kingdom. God does not need a car. God does not need a building. God does not need a chair. God does not need a table. God does not need a donkey. God does not need a tiger. God is in need of you, man and woman of God. That's His purpose. That's His plan, to unlock your purpose, to ignite your potential, and to unleash your destiny. Can I declare that there is some world changes in this room this morning? You're going to change this world for Jesus Christ? Can I declare? Oh, you don't believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Something is in store. Listen, you could be 99 years old and have one more year on this earth. You could change this world. You can turn it upside down for Jesus Christ. As Pastor Adrian preached last week, Samson had one more breath. Samson had one more bout of strength. And he killed more Philistines in that one moment than he did in his whole life. No matter where you are in life this morning, the purpose of God can ignite your potential. Ignite what's on the inside of you. And unleash you, unleash you. Listen, I want every one of us to leave this place this morning and unleash on this world. Unleash on your job. Unleash on your clients. Unleash in your area the name of Jesus Christ. There's no time to be shy. There's no time to hold back now. When they ask you, why are you happy when I am sad? You tell them, because of Jesus Christ. When they ask you, how come you have money in the bank and I'm struggling? You say, because of Jesus Christ. When they say the tax rate is going up and this is going up and that is going up, how come you still got a smile on your face? Because of this Jesus Christ. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. If the tax rate goes up, God will provide 2% more to my income to meet the VAT rate, Malden. I know. And if they say to you, how come you're so young to say these things, you can say, because I've been through some things. I've learned to trust in Him. I've seen the hand of God. He'll not leave us nor forsake us. I entitled my message this morning, Purpose Unlocked. Purpose Unlocked. Purpose Unlocked. As our theme is, your purpose in your life needs to come forth. The purposes of God in your family needs to come forth. The purposes in your ministry of God needs to come forth. The purposes for your community needs to come forth. I'd like to take just 1 minute there in the area of the purposes for your family. There's much I'm going to say today around how we've been brought up and how often when we become older in life, especially working, there's a warring, Pastor Marcus. A warring of what our purpose is based on how we've been brought up versus what the purposes of God truly is for our life. And that gap between the two is where parents come in. And not all of us had parents or have parents that recognized that my son or my daughter has certain potential, certain talents, certain abilities, certain capabilities that God put on them, not to serve this world, not to make only a living with, but to impact the kingdom of heaven with. Amen? Now, so often, we become great professionals, great business people, but we struggle to cross over when the purposes of God comes knocking on our door. Amen? Can I tell you this morning, I say it under the grace of God, you can have everything in this world, but the greatest accomplishment is fulfilling your kingdom mandate on this earth. Amen? Amen. Parents, there is an important mandate on us to recognize from a young age what our children are capable of. Not just that they'll be great professionals, great athletes, great at this, great at that. And I know every parent's heart's desire is to see your child successful, right? To see your child do great things. But define the word success with Jesus in it. Define the word success with the things of God in it. I'm saying this under the grace of God. My two pumpkins are in Sunday school this morning, my two beautiful pumpkins. But I've got to say that I would rather have two children that love the Lord than two children that are the wealthiest on this earth or the most famous on this earth. Amen. I have a dream that my son will play cricket for whichever country he lives in. And when I switch the TV on that batter's card, I'll see Judah play there. Either batsman 1, 2, or 3. I don't know what he desires in this life, but from the sports point of view, that's what I desire to see. But in spite of that, despite that, if he never achieves it, but if he loves the Lord, if he serves the Lord, and if his heart is after the things of God, I'll make the money for him. I'll take care of him. Let him serve God and let him do the things of God. He'll have a father in heaven and a father on earth that will look after him. Amen. Also pray he finds a good wife, but that's a different prayer. I'm praying on that one. The word of God says in Exodus, y'all thought I'm not going to read the Bible. No, I have to read the Bible. Pastor Adrian and Bishop is watching. I have to read the scripture. But the scripture is a good portion of scripture. I chose it in King James Version because I wanted to sound holy this morning. Exodus 3 verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and he behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You know the story, right? And Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said to him, draw to me nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for this place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. I left this point for the end of the message, but I'm going to say it at the start. The purpose of God is revealed in us when we encounter God. So this morning, if you leave the house of God, if anything you have to pray for is, Lord, may I encounter you. The last time I was on this pulpit, I talked about the presence of God, and everything that we need is in the presence of God. The purpose, your purpose, the unpacking of your purpose is in the presence of the Lord. When you encounter this God, you can never be the same. When you encounter this God, all the things of this earth will go strangely dim, as the songwriter says. When you encounter this God, all you want to know is, God, what do you have in store for me? What do you need of me? I may be tall, I may be short, I may be strong, I may be weak, I might be red, I may be blue, but whatever I am consecrated unto you, O God. What is your purpose for me? Now the life of Moses is very interesting. He is the epitome of what God can do with purpose. First, in concerning purpose, we need to understand that purpose is the predestined will of God for our life. When you are in the kingdom of God, you cannot hide from His purpose. You cannot run away from His purpose. You cannot deny His purpose. In fact, if you pray and seek God and worship God, eventually His purpose becomes like a burning coal on your shoulder. You cannot hide from it. Man, you want the things of this world, but you will not settle for anything else. The purpose of God is His predestined will for your life. It is to live in the calling that God has for us. Yes, I'm an Indian person. Yes, I am a professional. Yes, I am a father. Yes, I am a husband. Yes, I am this and yes, I am that. But I am a child of God, first and foremost. I need to know the purpose of God for my life. And I need to live in that purpose of God. And as we'll see with Moses, sometimes that purposes come with a heavy cost. A heavy weight. It'll cause you to give up everything that you own. It'll cause or require you to sell everything that you have. Amen? It comes at a heavy price. It may cost you some family members, because you don't like to have a drop with them anymore on Christmas Day. It may come at the cost of some friends, because you cannot do the things they want you to do anymore. But the purposes of God comes with its rewards. Above all, eternal life is one of its rewards. We will see our God face to face. I'd like to declare this morning, it is to know God, to worship God, to love Him, to please Him, to serve Him, to follow Him, and to follow His commandments, to do His will on this earth. If those of us that are in home cell are doing the teachings, the video teachings, you will know that the man of God, purpose-driven life, the writer thereof, and he said that our purpose, first and foremost, we were created to worship God and to love Him. That is it. Before we get too complicated, worship God, live in His presence. Now let's look at Moses. Let's look at Moses. Moses was born in a Hebrew family. By the way, this is Bible Sunday school, not even Bible school. So you know the story, okay? So if you didn't know anything of this, please read Exodus from start to finish. Okay? Moses was born to a Hebrew family, but Moses had to be put into the river. He had to be hidden. He had to be covered. He had to be put away. Now, firstly, at a young age, Moses experienced turmoil. He experienced a pushing away, a pulling away. He experienced a severing from his family. If you in this place born, but at an early age, you face turmoil in your life and strife as a child of God, difficulty, it is not in vain. It is not without purpose. There is a plan for you. Moses then was found by the Pharaoh's daughter. Imagine that she didn't take him in. Imagine when she opened the basket. In fact, the word of God says in Exodus, she said this is one of the Hebrew boys. She knew what her father was doing. Yet she saw this child and didn't turn him away. Today, under the grace of God, I want to speak against the spirit of abortion. I want to say that every child is valuable and precious in the sight of God. To you, young lady that's here this morning, and if you are contemplating abortion, the purpose that God has for you and that child, you will never know in this moment. But 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, that child will be the savior of a people. Daughter, do not give up. Daughter, do not be afraid. Man or son, if you are saying to your partner, abort the child, abortion is not of God. I don't care what any law says. I don't care what any government says. I don't care what any kind of movement says this morning. In that life is purpose from God. Purpose beyond our knowledge and understanding and our comprehension. Purpose beyond religion. Purpose beyond the color of our skin. God has instilled that purpose in that child. Don't give up wherever you are this morning. Amen. She didn't turn him away. She didn't abort the plan of God. Though she didn't even know that she was part of the plan of God. The purpose of God. Then Moses grew up as a prince of Egypt. He was educated by the Egyptians. He was skilled in warfare. He fought in battles. So he was strong physically. In fact, around that time, and you will know that when the bush came and when God asked Moses to go to Pharaoh, he said, "But Lord, I can't speak." But when he was a soldier and a prince of Egypt, the word of God said he was very good at all the things that he did. So when God calls us, all of a sudden we can't speak. And we say, "God, no, I'm weak, and Lord, I can't do this." But when the world needs us, we are aces at what we do. Amen? That's a different message for another day. He was raised as a prince of Egypt. So he was given skills. And he was given ability. He was given knowledge and wisdom to take on the things of Egypt. Amen? It's like so many of us here, educated, hardworking, we've got some skills, we've got some abilities. But how many times have we preached on this pulpit that we should use that in the kingdom of God for the extension of God and for his purposes? Then Moses kills an Egyptian who was too harsh on a Jewish slave. He's a murderer according to that land. But what gets me about that moment in Moses is that his anger provoked him to take on injustice. That was a moment of injustice. Moses, although he was a prince of Egypt, something on the inside of him reminded him that he's not an Egyptian. That he was a Hebrew. It reminded him that he was not only a doctor, not only an accountant. He was not just a South African. He's not just someone that's a product of apartheid. It reminded him that he was not just the son of so-and-so. It reminded him that he just didn't grow up in this poor area. It reminded him that he was not just this little boy from nowhere. It reminded him that he was part of a royal priesthood, of a holy nation. Amen? That spirit of God on the inside of him caused him to see his people. Now, can I show you something? That to provoke your purpose, sometimes you need to get angry at some stuff. Amen. How often we are brought up to not get angry, right? Be calm. Don't let your anger get the best of you, etc., etc. But God can use your anger to turn this world upside down. Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King. These were men that used their anger to stand up against injustice. Injustice, injustice. Moses, something on the inside of him. He was willing to give up. He was willing to risk it all. His position as the prince of Egypt. To kill that soldier. To kill that oppressor. To kill what he thought was his fellow Egyptian. Something interesting there. Moses then ran away. You know, I'm sure that being a prince of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the leaders, the judges, the courts, they could have said to Moses, "Listen, you are part of the royal family. We can hide this thing, man. It's just one of our workers. We'll sweep it under the rug, Moses. You don't have to run. You don't have to hide. You don't have to leave the palace. You don't have to leave the status that you have. You're a prince." Almost every great story told about kings and princes, you'll know they have blood on their hands. But because of their position, they were able to walk away. But Moses did not accept it. Moses realized that he is a Hebrew. He's a child of God. That was what was troubling him. That was what on the inside of him. So Moses ran away. He ran into the desert. And he gets to the land of Midian. He's left everything that is known. The cost is coming now, people of God. I know it's quiet. Because the purposes of God will cost you. It will cost you to leave everything that you had. Sometimes it may cost you to run away. Yes, I know. Listen to me. You can't get to where God is taking you comfortably. Comfort is not the answer. Comfort is not our God. Comfortable lives is not the way. And I have worked my whole life to build a comfortable life. And I have it in my word this morning, and I'm going to preach it. He couldn't get where he needs to go in his comfort. So Moses gets to Midian. But at the well, he sees the daughters of Jethro. He didn't know they were the daughters of Jethro. He probably just thought there are a lot of pretty girls. And guess what? His courage was stirred. Because when they were attacked and when they were abused and treated badly, he fought back. So what did the daughters do? They went and told their father about this hero. And when he met Jethro, Jethro gave him a job. And Jethro gave him his daughter to marry. Amen? Still, Moses could have said, in Egypt, I could have any bride that I wanted. As many brides. So, in this moment, and just for one moment, I want to say, Moses found his comfortable place. The Bible says he was about 40 years old when he got to Jethro. And so he spent another 40 years working, enjoying the company of his family, raising his children, enjoying the beautiful landscape, having mutton or lamb whenever he liked because he looked after the sheep and the cattle. He had a comfortable life. But God was not done with him yet. Tell your neighbor, God is not done with you yet. Moses did not even have an inclination that God had a great purpose for him, for his life, for all the things that he would be through. So finishing up with Moses, he encounters the burning bush where our scripture is taken from, where he met the I Am. Listen, when the world tells you that you are too tall, tell them I Am. When the world tells you that you are too short, tell them I Am. When the world tells you are too poor, you can't do it, tell them I Am. When the world tells you that you are not smart enough, tell them I Am says that I Am. When the time comes and God's purposes comes to you to be fulfilled, you will not fulfill it in your own strength. You will not fulfill it in your own ability. You will not fulfill it in your own capability. You will not fulfill it in your own knowledge and wisdom, but you will fulfill it by I Am. Because in Him I am strong. In Him I am mighty. In Him I am courageous. In Him I am able. I am able. I am able. I am able. In Him I am healed. No sickness is going to hold me back. In Him I am more than a conqueror, so no demon can stand. I am, I am, I am. At that juncture, I want to tell you, I taught my children this the other day. I said, if someone gives you a question you cannot answer, not examination question, answer I Am. Exams, you answer according to the content that you have to study, please. That's especially for my son, because he'll write I Am there. I know him. I am, I am, I am. In fact, when Moses said, I cannot speak, he said, say, I am sent you. The purpose of God is I am. The purposes of God in your life, though it may cost me, though it may slay me, though it may make it hard for me, though I may not be able to have all that I want, I am is enough. God can do it for you. God can do it for you. God can make a way. So Moses' encounter brought his purpose and assignment. The word of God says, God said to Moses, I have seen the suffering of my people. There is too much of injustice in this world for us to turn a blind eye, children of God. If you see it, God sees it. If you see ungodliness, God sees it. If you see worldliness, God sees it. If you see pain and suffering, God sees it. And if He cannot turn a blind eye, we cannot turn a blind eye. I would like to encourage you that God can turn the situation of anyone around. But He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your feet. He wants to use your lips. He wants to use your words. He doesn't care how good you can speak. He doesn't care how good you can walk. He doesn't care how good you can do things. He wants to use you. I am that I am. So Moses comes to know his purpose. He makes every excuse in the book. God says, I give you a solution. Moses goes to Egypt. Moses takes on Pharaoh. Potentially the greatest and most wealthy ruler of his time. Equivalent to Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great, and people that ruled kingdoms from the east to the west of the modern day continent. He went to Moses and said, "Let my people go." Pharaoh said, "Who are you to tell me to let the people go?" I know some of you are facing challenges today. The enemy may look you in your face and say, "But who are you to tell me?" Tell them, "I am a child of God." Tell the enemy, "I'm a child of God." If you find yourself in a place of work that does not allow you to worship God, does not give you the time of day to serve the Lord, that does not allow you to fulfill the purposes of God, then say to God, "Change my circumstance. Oh, give me a better job." God can do it. God can do it. So Moses, finishing up the story, he sees the mighty power of God. He sees simple miracles like the stick turning to a snake, his staff turning, but he sees great miracles like the plagues, and like the miracle of the Passover, where God himself brought death to the Egyptians, to the firstborn. Amen? Just like how Pharaoh killed the Hebrew boys, God exacted his vengeance. Pharaoh had a chance to turn it away. He had a chance to forgive. He had a chance to let them go, but he was stubborn. He was hard-hearted. And he had to face the vengeance of the Lord. So this morning, Moses takes him on. Moses defeats him at the Red Sea. What a thing it must have been to see that. To see an whole ocean, an entire ocean, stand up, left and right, at the sound of the name of Jesus Christ. Moses saw this. Today, when you give in to the purpose and the call of God upon your life, you will see things that no one else could ever comprehend. How many of you this morning here can say you've seen miracles in your life that you can't even explain? Sometimes when you want to testify, you just say, "Okay, leave it. I can't even explain to you what has happened. You won't even believe me, what God has done in my life, where I am today." I, as Nigel Pillay, am saying to you that if I tell you from January to now what God has done in my life, there will not be enough words to describe it. There will not be enough time to describe it. Only my wife knows. And yet she gets tired of listening sometimes to it as well. A bit of advice to the husbands. Don't give your wife all this information after 10 o'clock at night. Look, it's only fair that she's going to be tired. Amen? But the reality is that how many of you can say how good God is? The miraculous is done. He's moved your Red Sea. He's taken those plagues away. He's stopped death coming over your home. He's done unthinkable miracles. And I'm telling you this morning that no word that you could ever say thank you enough to God. Moses saw it. Cloud by day, fire by night, water from the rock. Moses went up to Mount Sinai into the presence of the Lord to bring down the Ten Commandments. The moment was so holy that God said, no one is allowed to even ascend the first level of the mountain because they would die. Only Moses was allowed to go. Moses made a mistake. God did not allow him to see the promised land. But in closure, it is said that Moses died at an age that will fascinate every single one of us. Up to today, his burial place is unknown. And it is said that in the scripture, even the devil searches for Moses' grave. Because there's certain secrets in his body that no other man was exposed to. The presence of God. The fact that he lived so many years. There was something amazing about Moses. Amen? 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 That is the same purpose and promise you have. That is the same potential that you have. That is the same grace that you have. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He can take a 40-year-old and cause you to turn this world upside down. He can take an 80-year-old and cause you to turn this world upside down. He can take a 120-year-old and cause you to turn this world upside down. He can take a 20-year-old and cause you to turn this world upside down. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. He's an almighty God, an all-powerful God. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. And I'm here to say to you, the purpose of God on the inside of you is unlocked today. It is unlocked today. Now, in conclusion, I would like to just give you two important tips concerning the purpose of God. The purposes of God is not your job. Don't ever let the job that you are doing today define who you are. Don't let the vocation or the business or whatever you do for a living. I'm saying this because I mentioned growing up, we are led into a way. We are led into a path. We are taught to study hard and do good things. And this is right. This is correct. But often as adults, we cannot separate the two. Now, the greatest blessing is if you ever find yourself working, earning a living in something that is your purpose. That's why I admire pastors. I really do. I really do. They're working in the purposes of God. Amen? Amen? Won't you give a round of applause for all your pastors? Not that there is much difference, but especially those in full-time ministry. Amen? It takes sacrifice. It takes a lot to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Turning away from everything else in this world. I admire you this morning, man of God, woman of God. It takes courage. Now, I want to say that though you may be skilled, you may be knowledgeable, understand that your job is not always the purpose and the work that God has for you. Find your purpose in Him. Study, pray. Don't confuse yourself. God will reveal to you. And if you leave here today and your vocabulary is changed, say, God, give me a job. Give me the ability to make a living with my purpose. Tiger Woods made a living with his purpose on this earth. But it was not a godly purpose. So as a man, he failed here and there. Michael Schumacher served his purpose as any great sportsman. But he was injured and caused to be paralyzed. There was no God in his purpose. Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest attacking players in basketball history, served his purpose, but not a godly purpose. He was not blessed with long life. I'm not judging this morning. I'm just saying we can be great at what we do, but not serve the purposes of God. Finally, the purpose of God and unlocking His purpose in your life will bring true meaning to your life. True meaning. True meaning. If you're looking to answer that question, what on earth am I here for? I have it all, but I still find something missing. This is the purposes of God. Let's all stand this morning. Lord, we worship you in this place. If you are here this morning under the sound of my voice, and you say, God, I know that you have something greater in store for me. No matter your age, no matter your title, no matter where you are in life today, and you know in your heart of hearts that I am called for a purpose. I am called for the purposes of God. I'm called for the things of, like a vessel, I am set apart for something great. I want you to lift up your hands firstly. Lift up your hands to heaven. If you believe God, I know you have need of me this morning. You have need of me this morning. I know, O God, that I've been running away from the things of God. Now, if you've lifted your hands, I'm going to ask you to be brave enough and come forth. Come forth this morning. Our pastors are going to meet you here. You say, Lord, unlock the purposes of God in my life. Unlock the purpose. Listen, purpose unlocks potential. Potential will give you power. Power will release you into your destiny. Amen? Your destiny in God is greater than even your own plans for your own life, child of God. Listen to me. The destiny of God is greater than the plans that you have for your life.